Mrs. Pettit sighed and thought that there were too many dummies in her math class. They sat in the last row, stone-faced, or with a little orphan Annie look on their face. She felt they hindered the others who did well in her class, and it became clear to her that those who could not comprehend math had to be dealt with separately. This is why she invited those who needed more help to an extra math class right after their lunch, which was really Mrs. Pettit's very own lunch hour. They could sit there without embarrassment and feel they were amongst equals, and Mrs. Pettit prepared to make math a subject of joyous understanding to these students. Her voice assumed a special challenge as she wielded an enormous wooden triangle and with her back to the class, traced it on the chalkboard. At this point, I walked past the open door of her classroom and saw that Renata threw a spitball out the window. Hilda cradled her head in despair, and Hillary faked a snore. Perky stared into space. Just then, Mrs. Pettit found her voice explaining angles and the hypotenuse. Her voice, gone shrill with excitement, rang over her shoulder, and she rejoiced to explain once more the theories of an ancient Greek mathematician. She got lost in his world and never doubted that her student followed her thoughts joyfully and with total understanding. The girls had not followed. The hour after lunch was the worst hour of the day, and nobody wanted to be inside. Outside was a lovely fall day. The brown leaves rustled and the clear air was full of seasonal smells. Bees and butterflies congregated around the garden's last flowers. This is when Perky stood up. She was a tall girl and this school's foremost troublemaker. She had hiked up her skirt to more fashionable length and her knee socks were down to her ankles. Her mind was closed to Mrs. Pettit's math and she wanted to be outside. Behind Mrs. Pettit's back, she tiptoed to the open window, deeply inhaling the fragrant air. She certainly was not open to Pythagorean wisdom. She motioned to an imaginary swain outside the window, catching an imaginary rose. The class turned its attention to Perky's antics, and one by one the girls joined her at the open window. Mrs. Pettit was busy with the triangles. The girls hung out the window, yearning to be free. Then Mrs. Pettit suddenly turned around and found that all the seats were empty and all the girls were at the window. She was just about to give a battle cry, giving her opinion on girls that slighted her efforts in such a way. But then Perky gave a charming smile and said, "There's a large brown dog in the garden. We think he is injured." "Yeah," chimed all the others. "We think he has hurt his foot and he lies there and cannot move. We must help him." Mrs. Pettit adjusted her glasses. She liked dogs. She herself had three. But whichever way she adjusted her glasses, she could not see a dog, just a brown log that lay there without motion. "It's not a dog, it's just a log," she observed. But all the girls swore they had seen it move, and all of them knew the dog was in pain and one needed to run out and see how it was doing. Mrs. Pettit was against that. This was math class. But then Perky was already halfway down the stairs. "I'll be right back," she yelled, as she stormed out the door and down the stairs, and all the girls followed. As they later explained, while none of them understood math, they all understood pain. And if someone was in pain, even a dog, they wanted to help. So all of them, even the reluctant Mrs. Pettit, crossed the yard to the ailing brown dog to offer aid and comfort. But upon closer inspection, it did turn out to be not a dog, but a brown log that had been there for some time. Math class was over for that day.